If you're a woman, you have a 1 in 8 chance of getting breast cancer during your lifetime. In its early stages, there may be no symptoms for detecting breast cancer. But as the cancer grows, there are changes that both women and men should watch out for. A lump or thickening, such as a mass, some swelling, some skin irritation or distortion in or near the breast or in the underarm area. A change in the size or the shape of your breast. A change in the color or the feel of the skin of the breast, the areola or the nipple. It might be dimpled, it could be scaly or puckered. You may notice nipple discharge, erosion, tenderness, inversion, which means that the nipple would be pointing inward. If you have a new finding that lasts 2 weeks or longer and that is unusual for you, reach out to your doctor. With early diagnosis, there's a 98% chance of surpassing the 5-year survival rate for breast cancer.
Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. Now here's your host, Pastor Jeff.
Hey family, thank you for tuning in to the show. I'm your boy, Pastor Jeff. I believe that today's program will be a blessing to you. If you see the young lady on the show, she should not be a stranger to you all. She's been on the on our program many times, a few times. But she's coming this time to bring not only a testimony, but to minister and to let you all know that God is still on the throne.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Wanda, Minister Wanda Valentine, she is minister, she is ordained. But before we get started, Wanda, somebody's up in here came along with you. You want to give him a shout out?
Yes. I want to say hello to my love of my life, my husband of 32 years. Yes. And I appreciate him and all that he do. He has truly shown himself to be faithful and dedicated.
Amen.
To his marriage.
Amen. Yeah, it's good on this end. I have a front row seat for 32 years. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I could truly say that I probably was part of the struggle. You still love it, though.
I still love it. Yes, sir.
But you are one of the few that know my brother and myself story better than anybody. Regis, you've been around for a minute, Reg. Hey, man, you can speak up.
I ain't going nowhere.
You ain't going nowhere.
I'm here.
I think I shoot him first. If he try to go over, I did say that.
It's on the tape.
Yeah, it's on the tape. Yeah, I think I get with him first. But what's going on?
Nothing. I'm just living life, enjoying life, going through the journey that God has put me on the path of. You know, God is faithful. God mm-hmm. is good. He's there with you when you don't think that he's not.
Yes.
Through the trials that you go through, the good and the bad, he has shown himself to be true and faithful.
Yes.
Yes.
The trial and the journey that you've been going through, wow, what, the past 2-3 years now?
It's been a little over a year.
Okay.
It's been a little over a year. It actually started a little shortly after my birthday in January of 2021.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before then, how's the kids?
Oh, they're good. They're good. They're my bodyguards.
Yeah.
Especially my daughter.
Yeah.
Yes. They're doing really good. Very supportive. Whatever I need, even in surprising of things that I think they're not paying attention to, they've already taken care of.
The last time you saw her, she wasn't a Nona. But now she's a Nona.
I'm a grandmother.
Yes.
Of a 2-year-old.
Oh, my God.
The love of my life. He just stole my little heart. Now that he can say Nona, he can say it 100 times in a day. And it's so fresh every time.
Yeah.
It beams my heart every time.
Can I put a pin right there?
Put a pin.
Isn't it something about these grandbabies that they didn't tell us anything about?
They didn't tell us about how they can just take everything you have.
We beat our kids to death, yes. But we give it freely to the grandbaby.
Yes. I tell my son, don't get on him about that. Leave him alone. You need to think back what you used to do.
Yes.
Now he okay.
Yes, yeah. It's something about
him. His time, he would get a killing.
I don't like to call it terrible, too.
No.
I don't like that. I just say that they're growing into their own.
Yeah, I say this, too. Is he's a boy. He's a boy.
Yeah. And let him be
a boy.
Yeah.
That energy, that excitement, that intrigueness that they have, it's beautiful to me because it's teaching them to explore.
Yes.
And to learn. And you don't want to kill that in them.
No, you don't. You don't want to stop that. And I love the fact how they trust us, why they doing what they are doing.
Yes. Yes.
And if we don't guide them and direct them, I think that we could direct them and guide them in the wrong direction.
Right.
Especially if you root and grounded in God.
Yes. That's funny because, you know, we train our kids up in the way that they should go.
Right.
We won't depart from them.
Yes.
You also do that with your grands.
Yes.
I took my grand go to church with us, and when they stand up and praising, he's standing up and praising too. He's clapping and everything, looking around just as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So you're teaching him, you're learning him of who God is.
Plant that seed in him
early. Yes.
And I know one time I caught, he had oil everywhere. Y'all don't.
When he leave from us, yeah, he is praying for sure.
He was getting ready to leave and he was shining. He had oil slapped all of them. I was looking at the chin because I thought a couple of the oil were going to drip.
You don't know what they're going to encounter when you're not in their presence. So, you know, you just want
to
put a little extra covering of the blood around them.
Yes.
They're out of your presence, Lord, I know you got them.
Yes. You're still strong in your ministry.
Yes.
Still faithful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Still about not only your ministry, but the ministry that you and my brother have, elder. that you and my brother have together, you know.
Yes. We've taken a little pause of, you know, doing a lot of evangelism because of, you know, my journey that I'm going through. But even in that, we're still able to talk to people, you know, on the phone or, you know, pray with others, you know. It may not be as that we can come and go where you are, but God's work can still be done.
Amen.
There's always a way.
Amen.
You know, and COVID doesn't stop it either.
No. Not at all. Mm-hmm. I think that since COVID, I think that our ministry of reconciliation should increase.
Instead
of decrease. Yeah. I think that our doors and our boldness should increase as well to share the love of Christ, to share that Christ loves us and we shouldn't be worried about what's going on in the world. That as a child of God, as a believer, these signs that we should be expecting them, right?
Yes.
And instead of us getting worried or concerned, we should be getting excited because these are the signs to letting us know that he's about to crack the cloud.
Yes. I say also with the COVID, it even helps you to be more creative.
Oh, I love that.
To reaching the lost.
Yes.
You know, some technologies that we never thought of using or doing, you know, is being used and it's effective.
Yes, ma'am.
With witnessing and giving the word and saving souls. So,
you
know, it's we've lost a lot of people in COVID times.
Yes, we have.
But God always is in control.
Yes, he is.
Of whatever is happening. And we just have to be ready.
Oh, I love that. The scripture said, those who win souls are wise.
Yes.
And he gave away. There's no excuse.
Yes.
For not witnessing,
That's
is it?
That's true.
Yes, too. I asked my sister to come on the show and share her testimony. right before Reggie called me, say that you want to talk to me. You remember I was sharing with you, I was sharing with my wife that I've been dreaming about you a lot. And what you shared with me, I was, I'm Holy Ghost filled, trusting in the Lord, but I call myself being strong. And, I just got in that corner of your sofa. You know that I ain't saying anything. But we are talking about breast cancer. And I never heard the type of breast cancer that the enemy, that caused you to be on this type of journey, this journey. I know there are different types of breast cancer. And I never thought that, that someone in my family that's close to me, besides my wife, because my wife's mother passed away of breast cancer. And, besides that, I would never thought that, that disease so would be so close.
Me too.
You too? I'm struggling a little bit.
You're good.
Okay, share with me, you were diagnosed what type of breast cancer?
I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer.
That's it, triple negative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I never heard of that before.
Yes. Well, a lot of times when you just hear, you know, that someone has breast cancer, mm-hmm. they don't go farther than to understand what it entails. What is it, you know, that makes up the genetic of the breast cancer? And when I found out that I had it, you know.
The generic? Would it get passed?
Yes, it can. It can be passed along throughout your, you know, your family members, daughter or mm-hmm. what. Same with just breast cancer, period, not just triple negative.
Okay.
But when I found out, you know, for a little while, I was at a stun, you know, for a few days, if I'm allowed to go ahead and start into the, you know, how it came about.
Yes. Because did you feel that something was wrong? Were you hurting? Was there discomfort or was it there disform in the breast or what was it?
Well, I have always been one that I do my wellness checks every year. And in January, I always done them. Because that was my birthday month, and that would help me to remember that's when I did them.
Mm-hmm.
This particular time, I went on the 20th of January, and 8 days later, the 28th, they called me and said, we need to do a biopsy. I came back that day, the 28th.
Okay, wait a minute. So this was nothing that you thought or you saw?
I had no
idea whatsoever.
I've always had
a mammogram.
Mammogram.
I don't know why I get that.
Mammogram. Okay. That, you know, was abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have dense breasts, it always would come up with like cysts or something like that. You have to go back and, you know, they draw it out or remove it and all. And that's it. No cancerous. But this particular time when they did the mammogram, they had me come back and they did, you know, thinking it was this. They actually saw three areas, two on the right breast and one on the left.
Okay.
And they biopsied them.
So you took the test the same day?
Mm-hmm, I did.
And they called you right back the same day?
I took the mammogram on the 20th. And I had to go back 8 days later to do the biopsy.
Okay.
On the 1st of February, a few days later, they called me. I got a call from the pathologist.
Okay.
Saying that it was breast cancer. It was cancer. After that, I mean, it just went to me as he was talking. It made me funny, but it was like Charlie Brown teacher. You know how they mm-hmm. wah, 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 wah.
You didn't hear anything
else. I didn't hear anything else but breast cancer. And I'm thinking my mom actually had colon cancer. And she did not leave here with colon cancer. She actually beat it. She was a survivor. But I actually had one of her sisters, my aunt, and one of my cousins, one of her daughters, that died of breast cancer. So they put all that in effect and had the testing done for, you know, to see whether it was genetic.
Okay.
Thankfully, it does not turn out to be genetic, you know, but my daughter still needs to continue to have herself checked at an early age.
Okay. Okay.
Than what they recommend to have it done. On the first, when I got the call, I was actually leaving with my daughter. We were going and doing some errands during my lunch hour.
Oh, y'all was together.
We were together. Yeah, we were in my vehicle. And got the call from the pathologist. And he said that it was breast cancer and telling me, you know, people was going to get a hold of me. Didn't really hear all of that. And I remember pulling over at the post office.
By Regina.
While she was in the car with me. And I just sat there for a minute.
And she didn't know at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, the call.
Because she heard the whole, oh,
yes.
She heard over
the
car speaker.
Over the car speaker. And okay. When the call, when he, you know, did the call, I pulled over to the post office. And I sat there for a minute. And the next thing, you know, I just screamed. Because out of all the testing that was done, I still didn't expect for that to be, you know, it to be cancer. You know, I just knew it was just going to be like normally, you know, just about every year that they just do biopsy, remove whatever, and you see in another year. And I remember just screaming, going, God, this is not so. This can't be happening. I don't believe this. And the next thing I heard was my daughter. She says, Mama, you're not by yourself. We're going to be okay.
Wow.
We're going to be okay. So we went on into the post office, did what we needed to do, grabbed some lunch.
Wow.
Got myself together, came on home. And I told my husband.
Wow. We're going to take a break right there. We're talking about breast cancer. And we're going to try to bring some information, educate us. Triple D negative.
Triple
negative. Wow. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rachel Friedman. I'm a medical oncologist in the Breast Oncology Center here at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I'm also the medical director for the Dana-Farber Cancer Care Collaborative, which is our network of hospitals throughout New England. Breast cancer is the most common cancer that a woman will develop throughout her lifetime, and over the course of a woman's lifetime, approximately 1 in 8 will develop breast cancer. Most breast cancers are picked up on mammograms even before it can be felt on somebody's examination. However, there are some signs that a woman should be aware of in her breasts that are not normal. If one feels a mass, a lump, dimpling in her nipple, things that don't look symmetric, new lumps and bumps in armpits, redness of the skin, things that are warm to touch. Inflammatory breast cancer is a rare form of breast cancer. It's a condition where the whole breast becomes red, sometimes warm, sometimes swollen, and it can often be mixed up with an infection of the breast called mastitis. And although most of the time when redness of the breast occurs, it is an infection or something non-cancer related, it is very important to tell your healthcare provider if you notice changes in the skin. Most breast cancers are not hereditary, meaning that there isn't a clear genetic link to most breast cancer. There is a small proportion of breast cancer, about 5 to 10% of women with breast cancer, who do have a genetic predisposition for breast cancer, meaning that they inherited a gene from their mother or father that made them more likely to develop breast cancer over the course of their lifetime. If you have a mother or a sister, what we call a first-degree relative, that means you may have a slightly increased risk for breast cancer, and this is something you should talk to your healthcare provider about because it may change the amount of screening that we do, the age that you start, and the frequency or different types of tests that you may have. Although routine self-breast exams are not a part of usual recommendations anymore, if you ever feel something that doesn't feel normal to you or that is a change in your breast that you're not used to, you should definitely call your healthcare provider so that they know what's going on and they can bring you in likely for an examination. Most changes in breasts are not related to cancer, but it's always important to alert healthcare providers about any changes that you see or feel.
What's your plan? more time with the grandkids.
Staying healthy.
Celebrating more happy birthdays.
Care Plus can help you make it happen. We've spent 20 years specializing in Medicare Advantage plans, and with our plans, you get benefits like a $75 reduction on your Medicare Part B premium every month with the Carefree plan, or a $0 copay for routine dental coverage plus partial or complete dentures with the Care One plan, plus a $0 copay for routine hearing and vision coverage, and a $40 monthly allowance for covered over-the-counter products. All from the third largest Medicare HMO plan in Florida. Call today. So, what's your plan? At Care Plus, we've got plans for you.
If you had to choose between food and gas for your car, between food and medical care, between food and the roof over your head, what would you choose? Every day, thousands of Northeast Florida residents make these difficult choices. Each month, 69% of households served by Feeding Northeast Florida have to make the choice between paying for food and paying for transportation to get to work or school. 68% of households have to choose between paying for medical care and paying for meals. And more than 59% have to make the choice to feed their family or pay for housing for the month. If you had to choose, what would you do? Feeding Northeast Florida, through its network of more than 150 food pantries and feeding sites, provides nutritious meals to people struggling with hunger. Together, we can solve hunger in Northeast Florida, so no one has to choose whether or not to feed their family. We know the face of hunger is changing. Your neighbor, your coworker, your child caregiver, your auto mechanic. Every day, people around you could be struggling with those tough choices, and they wouldn't be alone. Locally, the Hunger in America 2014 study shows that nearly 39,000 people turn to our network for help each week. That's more than 322,000 people, including 29% who are children and 15% who are senior citizens. The people we serve have jobs, raise families, face health issues, serve our country, and seek education. Today's face of hunger is hardworking and hopeful. Underemployment, stagnant wages, and a rising cost of living have impacted these families and individuals. More than half of households served by Feeding Northeast Florida report at least one person working in the past year. The person who has worked the longest is more likely to be employed part-time than full-time. And many are giving back to our community. 20% of households have at least one member that has served in the U.S. military. Our clients struggle with rising medical costs and ongoing health issues. One in three households has a member living with diabetes. 65% report high blood pressure. And 79% are purchasing cheaper, unhealthy food in an effort to provide enough food for the household. In 69% of the households served by Feeding Northeast Florida, the median monthly household income is at or below the federal poverty level. Like an increasing number of Americans, the people we serve look to education to improve their lives. 19% of households report having an adult student in the home. With the support of Feeding Northeast Florida and its partners, these families and individuals have the fuel to make positive choices and work toward a better future. Hunger has no boundaries, whether through your neighborhood food pantry, local youth program, nearby senior center, or a meal kitchen. Feeding Northeast Florida is helping in your community. We believe everyone can choose to help create a hunger-free Northeast Florida. Individuals, charities, businesses, and government all have a role in ending hunger. Donate, volunteer, advocate, educate. Join us. Together, we can solve hunger.
You're listening to JBV Radio. Positive Radio.
Welcome back. I'm here with Minister Wanda Gail Brooks Valentine, and she is sharing her testimony, and I want to, can we dive back in? So you came back home and you told your husband.
My husband was, I remember him sitting on the stool, and I just went over to him and embraced him, you know, and told him, and he said again, he said, "You're not by yourself." And I heard that repeatedly, you know, but I felt like, God, they ain't got nobody calling them, telling them that, you know, right. They have you know, breast cancer and all. And that day was so much like a fog because there were so many phone calls. From the time of the pathologist calling, from I think it was 12:45, I will not forget that time. I received phone calls from my primary doctor. The doctor, radiology doctor, it was a navigator, which is so much to me is a advocate for the patient.
Yeah,
there were so many calls, so many people calling that I decided I pulled out a pad and just started writing down because it was just so overwhelming.
So because of the calls was coming in so quickly, were they trying to get right on and start the process of treating?
When the pathologists, when they do their testing, they also test to see what kind of cancer it is, what treatments they need to do to combat against it. So mine was called triple negative breast cancer.
Okay. Triple negative cancer. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Okay. There is three different genetics that makes that up. One is your estrogen.
Okay.
And your progesterone. It's like the protein in the female's body.
Okay.
They test that to see if they treat the cancer with, you know, with that, would it, you know, would you get any changes on it?
Okay.
Mine was negative on those two. Then they have called HER2. And it's a protein that is in your body, a hormone, I'm sorry, that is in your body that they can treat with you through that way. Well, all three of those were negative for me. So they couldn't treat it with hormone therapy or any other kind of methods. With mine, triple negative is so evasive. It grows very fast that the quicker they find it and treat it, you have a good outcome of it. So By the 12th, I had met with the doctors. February the 12th, I had met with the doctors and all. By the 18th, I was having surgery.
Really?
To put the port in. I have a port where they administer.
From February the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Now here it is, the 12th, now the 18th.
The next week, it was 1 week, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. The 18th is when they administered the port. The next week, I went for an MRI, and in that same week, they started chemo.
Wow.
So within, what, 3-4 weeks, they were already trying to, let's get a hold of this. The cancer size, one of them, the main one that's in the right side, was 2 centimeters. The way that he explained to me is 2 centimeters is your fingernail, your baby finger, the fingernail.
Okay.
So that would be 1 and 2 would be 2 of them.
Okay.
The size of it. I did not feel the cancer, the tumor. I could not feel anything. Mine was caught on the mammogram.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I encourage every woman, you know, get your mammograms. Don't take it lightly. It's not just something, you know, to take lightly. This is your body.
Especially if you of age,
Then
isn't it recommended at the age of 32 or
35? It used to be 40, but now it's 35. And as I'm learning even more, a lot of women are diagnosed earlier than that. But because of
the history,
the health, you know, they won't cover too much.
Oh, of that because of age. The provider insurance or whatever. So if they do it before 35, it's a possibility they may have to come out of their pocket. And the cost of the test is expensive.
It's expensive. I don't know exactly what the price is, but I know that, you know. But there's a lot of sources that provide free breast cancer, you know,
screening,
yeah, and stuff. So you still can get it done, especially with the history, you know, if you have family history.
I know you shared that with me, and please, if I'm not being sensitive, I'm sorry. Triple negative cancer. You shared with me that it's more aggressive in black women and Hispanic.
Yes. It's triple negative breast cancer makes up about 10 to 25% of breast cancer. It's an invasive breast cancer, and it's mostly predominantly in African-American women, Hispanic women. It also can show up in Caucasian women, but it's mostly made of Hispanic and African-American. They don't know why. They're still doing testing to figure out what makes it, you know.
And it's rare.
It is a rare one.
And we see the Lord is in you, but most women do not recover.
Correct. Because it's so evasive, I can say, like, with my aunt.
Okay.
My aunt, she did not seek any help. She told my mom about it and showed my mom. You know,
and she never got?
She did not get treated.
Okay.
She did not get treated. And within maybe a year.
After she found out?
Mm-hmm. She was gone.
Wow. So she, that's a lot of time that, mm-hmm. I ain't going to say wasted, but that's a lot of time.
Yes.
That treatment.
Yes.
Could have possibility.
They're now trying a new medicine.
Okay.
That, you know, after all of I was done, I was actually given the new med, an oral chemo pill. You know, after all of my other treatment, I know we're jumping way ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That I am on now.
Okay.
And on the 29th, I will be taking my last of that.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So I'm excited about that.
Yes, and we are excited with you.
Some women have a med that they take for 5 to 10 years on triple negative.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 1st, the 12th, the 18th, mm-hmm. They pushing the urgency that we need to start attacking this disease.
Yes.
So after the port and on the 24th, when you start taking these treatments, mm-hmm. The last lady that we had on the show when she was going through breast cancer, she said she didn't understand what she was going through, but she was just trusting God and said, okay, so what's next? Mm-hmm. Can you give me, what were you thinking at this process? Because I got a call. The reason why I asked that, I got a call. This lady was dealing with breast cancer, and she said that, that she just want to give up with everything. And she didn't understand how women dealing with breast cancer could say the Lord is good, you know, how they have faith the whole while. Why is she mad and angry, upset, you know? But I believe that it's okay to me to tell the Lord I'm mad, I'm upset. Exactly. Why is me, you know, why I'm going through it. I think that's okay to ask the Father that.
Yes.
And then the reason why I ask you that, because I think it can help somebody where I'm not going crazy.
Yeah. Well, I agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I first found out, I've heard of it. I didn't know the in-depth of it, you know, and one thing about me and my family, and y'all know you would too, I want to know,
yeah,
you know, I want to be educated with what's going on. So by the time everything was going so fast, they giving me pamphlets of this, test results of that and all, I decided, okay, God, I need to know what's happening. So I began to read and educate myself on what is triple negative breast cancer. What is chemo? What does it entail? What kind of medicines? Educating yourself. And I did go through the stage of why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad. Why am I going through this? Did I do something wrong? Yes, I asked the Lord.
Mm,
Lord, what is this? Why am I going through this? Is there something I need to get right? Or is it just your will?
Yeah. She was saying that, did I commit a sin that I know that I didn't know about it, you know, and, she kept repeating about, mm-hmm. Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive mm-hmm. me. And she had to go to chemo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. When, I first started this, journey,
mm-hmm.
Me and my husband, we sat and we prayed. We talked a lot about all of it. We actually had certain people that we wanted to know before everybody knew, you mm-hmm. know, before I could be right here.
Right.
There were certain people that I decided I'm going to let them know personally because I knew where their faith was, how they felt about me, and how they're going to stand with me.
Amen.
I didn't want any negative in my life at that time.
Come on, reach over here.
I had to get rid of that because
yes,
I'm already hearing a lot about triple negative, mm-hmm. you know, and how, you know, the reoccurrence of it, you know, and how bad it is and all the negative. I needed positive in my life.
Amen.
So I dove into the word. I dove into reading. And then as I read and got educated on about it, I put it before the Lord.
Yeah.
In my prayer. You know, I told the Lord, Lord, they say this and they say that, but I know that you are a healer. You are faithful. You are my God. I belong to you. And there's nothing that is going to take place that you don't already know about.
Mm.
That you can handle.
That's right.
So, and let me be transparent. This, it wasn't that I said it once. I had to repeat it to myself and say that to myself.
Come on, talk to me. Explain that a little bit more.
I had to continue to. There was times that during the chemo, the first four treatments are every 2 weeks. And they're the two harsh chemo meds that they inject to you. And one is called Red Devil. And because it is so, the side effects of it, it's so bad that they give you meds before that to help the side effects from the chemo.
So they give you them meds first.
They give you, I had to take prednisone and couple of other meds. But they were to counteract what I call it,
Red Devil.
But it's called Red Devil in our world.
Right.
But it's called Azithromycin in the hospital's terms. And it's after you continue using that, when you're done, you have a 2-year span that you have to watch your heart because it affects your heart.
What?
It affects your heart.
Wow.
So you know, 2 years after it, you have to, you know, continue. If you have any heart issues, you must let your whoever you're talking with know that you have taken Azithromycin during, you know, your breast cancer treatments.
Wow.
So, you know, that's why we call it Red Devil.
Okay.
But then I had 12 more chemo treatments that was every week that I had to do. And it was a different kind of med. But the side effects, you don't have any energy. You can barely walk from your bed to your bathroom. The sickness, the vomiting, the nausea, the appetite, the loss of weight, diarrhea. It's so mental to you because you feel your body going through all of these different things and you're trying to hold on to your faith, you know, and you continue to tell yourself, God, you said you got me. God, you said you got me. As you're holding your head over the sink, puking your brains out, you know, and you've been on eight something that you really want. You lose your taste buds.
Mm.
It's just so many things. Your hand color change. Your nails turn black. Your feet. all of the different side effects of it, but it's supposed to be working for your good.
Wow. Wanda, we gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Did you know surgery is one of the primary methods of diagnosing and treating breast cancer? Your first thought is probably a mastectomy, but there are several other types that you may experience. A biopsy is the first surgery you'll have. Using a needle, or sometimes scalpel, a sample of cells is taken and sent to a pathologist for examination. Needing a biopsy does not mean you have breast cancer. In fact, the majority of biopsy results show no cancerous cells. If the tumor is confirmed as cancerous, there are a few surgery options. A lumpectomy is the first. This breast-conserving surgery removes the tumor and a portion of the surrounding breast tissue. The amount of tissue removed depends on the size of the tumor and how far it has spread. After a lumpectomy, it's common to undergo several weeks of radiation therapy. The second option is a mastectomy. In this surgery, the cancer is extracted by removing the entire breast. Depending on the extent of the cancer, the nearby lymph nodes and underlying muscles may be removed as well. Sometimes a mastectomy can be performed without removing the nipple and areola. This is called a nipple-sparing mastectomy. Mastectomies are often the best treatment for advanced-staged breast cancer. However, if the cancer has spread to the lymph nodes, radiation therapy may also be recommended. Some people may also choose to replace the missing breast after mastectomy. This type of reconstructive surgery is a personal decision and may not be right for everyone. If you need surgery for breast cancer or another form of breast disease, the Surgical Breast Care Team is here for you.
The Men's Closet, where new merchandise for the fall is arriving daily. They can wait for a clearance sale. Two suits for $120. Linen sets, $49.99 and up. Sport jackets, $49.99 and up. Shoes, $19.99 and up. We also carry the latest styles in business fashion and casual wear. We also carry pleasure robes, $99 and up. And pleasure shirts, $34.99 and up. The Men's Closet, we're located on Lim Tunnel Road right across from the Walmart. Give us a call at 904-619-2385. That's 904-619-2385. The Men's Closet.
At Dedicated Senior Medical Center, our specialty is caring for seniors. We make it easy to see our doctors. We spend more time with our patients than most doctors. And we treat you like a VIP. Few go this far to keep you healthy, happy, and at home. So ask yourself these questions. Does your doctor personally call and check on you? Does your doctor allow walk-ins? Do you have your doctor's cell phone number? Does your doctor's office offer telehealth visits? Does your doctor help make sure you get to and from your appointments? Does your doctor make sure you get all of your prescription medications? If your answer to any of these questions is no, you should say yes to Dedicated Senior Medical Center. We understand seniors. Don't you deserve better when you need to see or talk with your doctor? You already know the answer to that question. Call to schedule a visit to Dedicated Senior Medical Center today and find out what you have been missing.
The Jeffrey B. Valentine Show, every Sunday on the CW Network. Check your local listings for the time and tune in for some faith and fun.
This is Trish.
This is Marlon.
This is Chanel.
Hey, I'm your boy, Pastor Jeff, and you are listening to JBB Radio.
Positive Radio.
Welcome back. I'm here with Minister Wanda, my sister in love. The sickness. Barely making it to the restroom. You know, the light, sound. Or you just had to be.
I didn't have much problem with the lights and sound and all. Did not bother me.
Well, you was they read you had to force you to eat something. The kids,
they stayed on me because one, you lose your taste buds and your appetite is just not there, and also mentally. When you eat, you know, you just like, okay, I'm going to eat it and I'm going to throw it back up, you know. So it has all those factors. One of the side effects was, you know, people always look at you know, you lose your hair. That's the main thing that, you know, most people, when they hear cancer, you're going to lose your hair. You're going to lose your hair. And I did. After my second treatment, I started losing my hair. It was on a Sunday morning. I actually was brushing my hair, getting ready for, we were on Zoom doing Sunday school. And I was brushing my hair and I'm getting ready to go in there. And I'm like, what in the world, you know, is this? I kept my cool. I stopped touching my hair.
Really?
And I went and sat next to my husband doing Zoom Sunday school.
And he didn't know at the time.
Mm-mm. I didn't say a word to him. We did Sunday school. And then later on that day, you know, I told him, but he didn't know when he got home that Monday that I said, I need you to do something for me. And he's like, what? Sure. You know, all happy and all. I said, this is mental. I just grabbed the clunk of it and just showed. I said, this is mental. I said, cut it off. I'm not going to wait for cancer to take my hair out. I'm going to go ahead and take control of it and let, you know, let's take this out. Take this hair, take it out, you know. And it, in the beginning, I was a little ashamed, you know. I have always been one that every 2 weeks I wouldn't go get my hair done.
Yeah.
That's my little thing. That's my little treatment for myself, you know. And for that to be taken away, you know, and you looking, you, when you lose your hair, it's not just on your head. You lose your hair everywhere.
So you said this was mental.
Yes. To see my hair in my hands was more mentally for me than anything, because I've always been, you know, one that every 2 weeks, you know, I go get my hair done. That was one of my little things that,
right,
you know,
I used to say, going to get your wig done.
Yes.
Everybody knew your
yes.
schedule.
Yes. Yes.
Get your hair done.
You didn't
yeah.
evade that.
Right.
That was my time. So for me to lose my hair, you know, it was something that was, you know, pretty devastating for me to see it gone. So that Monday when my husband came home from work, you know, I said, I need you to do something for me. And he was like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, being supportive, all, you know, whatever and stuff. And I said, I just grabbed the clunk of it. And I said, this is mental. I said, this has got, I can't handle this just like this. I said, cut it off. Cut it off. And my purpose was, is I'm not waiting for the chemo or the cancer to take my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take control of it myself.
And was the enemy dealing with your thought process, or are people going to see me with my hair?
Yes, 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 yes. It was for, in the beginning, when I was totally bald, I did not come out without a cap. Or, you know, I started introducing, you know, to wigs. They started introducing me to wigs and stuff. But eventually, I had to tell myself, Wanda, it is what it is. It's cancer, you know, and this is part of the stage of the stage of what happens when you're fighting mm-hmm. cancer. You should be proud of who you are. You're still standing where some.
Right. That's
making
not,
it, you
right.
know. So I did started going out. Out of the house. And of course you're going to get some looks or whatever,
yeah.
you know, but you got to know within yourself who you are,
right?
Who you belong to.
Right.
You know, so eventually, yes, I got better. I got better and started being me again.
Yes.
As much, you know, as much as strength and all that I could.
Now, what about the radiation? And, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Radiation, you know, radiation, I had, 21, sessions of radiation.
It was, wait a minute, within a year?
Yeah. Well, after the...
When they start doing the radiation, you had 21 treatment within that mm-hmm. year?
Wow. Well, the radiation was part of the after treatment, because we... After chemo,
mm-hmm.
The chemo purpose was to try to get a hold of the tumor.
Okay, so the chemo is trying to shrink it?
They try to shrink it.
Okay.
They did shrink it. It shrunk 70%.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, they did. It shrunk 70%. Then they went in and they removed the tumor. Mm-hmm. They removed
it. So they had to shrink it first before they remove it?
Yeah.
Why they can't remove it before they shrink it?
Well, it's according to everyone's body is different. And with mine, that's the steps that they needed to do.
Okay. It's per case.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So after the chemo treatments, mm-hmm. which is one of the hardest things to ever have to go through, we had the surgery where they removed the tumor because it shrunk to 70%. It shrunk. And the tissue that's around it, they removed a margin of that as well. So okay. while they're doing the surgery, they're testing, you know, the area to make sure that there's no signs of any cancer anywhere.
That is not spreading.
It has not spread.
And does it spread into the lymph nodes?
It can spread to your lymph nodes. They actually removed four of my lymph nodes in the right breast.
Okay.
And cancer had not spread it there.
Awesome.
So the aggressiveness of them, you know, really jumping right on it, getting it done, there was a success with it.
Okay.
So there was actually two spots there and one on my right, on my left. But the other one that was on the right breast had actually shrunk completely, gone away.
Oh.
Yes, it had gone away. So my oncologist, cancer doctor, he said, once we remove this tumor and all that's around it, you consider cancer free.
Mm.
So July the 29th is when they did the surgery. When we woke up.
21.
Of 2021. When I woke up, I was cancer free.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's amazing how you were going through all that during the pandemic.
Yes. And like I said, you know, I have to look at how God worked things out because we were actually working from home. I work from home.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I was able to do my treatments, maybe not work that, of course, not work that same day or the day after, but I was still able to work.
Right.
You know, God is so, he's so amazing that how he can strengthen your body to go through some things and still be able to function when you think you can't do it.
Yeah.
But so I was actually home. And we're still working from home and still going through, you know, the treatments. We're doing preventive treatments now is what's happening. That's where the radiation came in.
Okay.
So
does it fall in that order, chemo, radiation?
For myself.
Okay.
Yes. It was chemo, surgery, then radiation. Radiation starts the preventive part of my treatment. And that's to keep it from coming back. The radiation, they actually do radiation right there on the spot that they remove the tumor from to burn any little micro cells that could be trying to form cancer cells that they cannot detect during testing or, you know, eyes or anything. So that's where that came in, and I had 21 sessions of that Monday through Friday.
I want to just do a small shift. When you finally went out and, you know, you're building your confidence up, and I know how you and my brother like to witness. Had the Lord ever during this time had you to witness about when somebody sharing their struggle? And the Lord had you to share your struggle or your fight. Can you give me a testimony?
Well, I won't say if we've done it collectively, him and I, but it draws attention, you know.
Right.
And you have some people. I had an older man, white guy, stopped and told me that his wife, you know, had breast cancer. And she actually passed the breast cancer and stuff. And what I told him, you know, that she still got a victory.
Yes.
And I'm still getting a victory.
Yes.
And I said, God is in control. He's going to heal us regardless of what end, you know, how we expect for it to be. And he received that, you know, and he said, I appreciate you telling me that because I feel a little, you know, a little better because it was new for him. His wife had not too long passed.
Oh.
So, you know, going out like that, it always, it draws attention, negative and positive. And you just have to go past what someone says or what, you know, the looks or anything.
So if someone is watching now, which I'm quite sure they are, what would you share with them? Why they are right there. They don't lost their hair. They're struggling with their strength. They're in their body. They're fighting their body, eating, regurgitating food. Look at that camera. What would you say to them right there?
I say to them that you are beautiful. Regardless of what someone says or how you may feel, know that you are a beautiful woman. Don't let anyone tell you who you are or who you should be or how you should feel. Be confident in yourself. Know that you are beautiful with or without hair, with a wig or without a wig. It is your choice. It is your choice to handle this the way that you feel is best for you. No one can tell you how to go through this except yourself. And knowing that the Creator loves you so much, He knew that this was going to happen. The strength that He gives you, it's in you. You have to tap into it. You have to move. You can't just sit there. You can't just be still and just let it take over you. Cancer does not have you. Don't let it take you.
Oh, I love that.
You take control of it.
Say it again. Cancer don't have
you. Cancer don't have you. Don't let it take control of you. No matter what you're going through, keep moving. Keep pressing forward. Every little step is a victory. Every little movement is a victory. You're winning when you're throwing up. You're winning when you don't want to eat. You're winning when you're getting your chemo.
Yes.
You've got the victory. You have to know that within yourself and continue to tell yourself when no one else is telling you.
Amen. Wanda going to be with us. Minister Wanda is going to be with us next week. And we're going to go in more in depth preventive. And we're going to go more in depth of the type of what to expect. But yet, and most of all, we have the victory in spite of. Amen. Amen. I know that our time is far spent, and we have to close our program as of right now. But we'll be back next week. And listen, I'm your boy, Pastor Jeff. And remember, love is in love until you give it away. I see you next week. Say goodbye, Minister Wanda Gail Brooks Valentine is up in here. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. For more information about us, tap or click shondocenter.org. That's www.shondocenter.org. If you'd like to reach out to us, leave a comment for prayer,
or just to let us know how we're doing,
email us at jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. That's jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. We thank you again so much for tuning in. And remember, love isn't love until you give it away. God bless you.